All right, it's Liam. I want to thank everyone at the Oasis Podcast, as you were.
Hello and welcome back to the Oasis Podcast, the ultimate audio guide to Oasis. Today, I'm going to be reviewing the new Liam Gallagher and John Squire album, which is finally with us. It's just been released as you are listening to this, hopefully. I got it a little bit early, thank you to Fear PR. So I was very excited to get it early because I've not really had that before from either Liam or Noel's company. So that was great to get it, and hopefully I'll building a bit of a relationship with Fear, which would be fantastic. So let's give some overall thoughts and then I'll go on to each of the individual tracks. So overall, look, I really enjoyed it. It's a really, really enjoyable listen. Liam, it sounds brilliant. It's great to have Squire back doing his thing. The band overall are great. We've got Joey Waronker. He's bringing this real 60s style drumming, which just suits the overall sound perfectly. Greg Kirsten is doing loads. He's on bass, keyboards, producing. The whole thing is just a really well-produced modern rock album with really strong 60s influences, especially in the guitars, as we will come on to. Overall, the songs to me, the structure of the songs, the verse, chorus, etc., they feel like original Stone Roses debut album songs. Now, I'm not sure like how generally Stone Roses songs were written, whether it was Ian Brown or John Squire who did what. You can kind of hear, I suppose, having had the Ian Brown solo stuff, you kind of then get a feel for which songs have got Ian's style melodies. And it feels to me like a lot more of the kind of 60s chiming kind of Birdsey influence Stone Roses debut and B-sides from that era songs are more than kind of John Squire-y type songs. And then when you get to Second Coming, it's more than the sort of the more bluesy style, which is where John went with the guitar playing. But then more of the melodies feel more like then Ian's retaken over with the melodies. Because often the second album melodies kind of then feel like melodies on Ian's solo stuff. So here it feels to me like we've got Stone Roses debut album style songs. And as I say, we know that it's John who's written them, but then with the guitars are less kind of Stone Roses debut guitars. They feel more like Seahorses era guitars to me. They've got that sort of bluesier feel. They've got that more kind of, this is Squire going off and doing his thing rather than just, you know, playing guitar on an album. This is John kind of in lead guitarist mode, definitely. And I think that's great. Overall, the production, obviously, like I said, we've got Greg Kirsten here. He's worked with Liam extensively on the albums. He's not necessarily produced and recorded everything. He tends to come in and do like the big comeback track, the odd track here and there. And then that kind of sets the tone for the album. And then other sort of producers and people have come in to sort of really help. But he's kind of set the tone. And that's really what we're going for here. I do sort of wonder, did John say like, oh, Liam, like your modern stuff has been really successful. You know, can we just kind of use that formula? And it really feels like that's the formula that they've worked with here. People will have a lot of issues with the lyrics. Let's just get that out up front. Definitely, there are some howlers in there. There's some you think, what? And this is not kind of Bob Dylan level lyrics here. There's I really like a lot of these. There's some killers in there, some real like little lines that made me chuckle, which has been great. And, you know, if a lot of these lyrics were on the Stone Roses debut or were on Definitely Maybe, we would just accept it. You just nod your head. Like I was saying about Just Another Rainbow, like the list in the colours of the rainbow. If that was on a Beatles track or a Stones track from the 60s, it would be fine. It would just be kind of psychedelia. You know, that was just a cool thing that they did in the 60s. Whereas modern times, you kind of don't really expect that. I think maybe we're a little bit too cynical, but there's some lines in there that you might pick on. But actually, I think once you just listen to the album and get into it, you just sing along and it's just good fun words to sing along to. So maybe a slight criticism there is that it maybe doesn't have the depth. Now, this is only the first few listens, so I haven't really gone into it in great depth, but it feels like, you know, just really good, well-written songs by John with words that are there. You know, they might be really deep things talking about his inner feelings about the world, but, you know, it doesn't necessarily come across that way. So it just feels like, you know, good, fun lyrics that fit with a good, fun album to me. So, yeah, overall, I'm really, really pleased with it. And yeah, I think it's one that I'll listen to quite a bit over the years. Let's talk about the individual tracks, shall we? So we start off with Raise Your Hands. And this has just got a really bouncy feel with a massive chorus. The vibe to me is kind of like Getting Better by the Beatles. It's kind of got that jink, 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 jink to it, which I really like. I can see it going down really well. Obviously, you know, singing like raise your hands will get people to raise their hands, obviously. You know, the way Liam sings it, I can see you, is just perfect for Liam's voice. So absolutely great. Like it when it then goes into like classic Squire guitar and the na-na-nas. Always good to have some na-na-nas. Then it goes into this nice rising piano. Dun, 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 and a nice bit of Squire guitar there at the end to finish. All in all, a really good start to the album. Really, really pleased. Mars to Liverpool is next. We talked about it recently. Really well-structured song. Really enjoyed it. Actually, Justin from The Darkness on his YouTube channel did a breakdown of it, and I thought it was really good. So if you want sort of an in-depth breakdown of like the chords and what he's playing with in terms of that more technical guitar player stuff, then definitely go and check that out, because it's really interesting. But for me, yeah, I really like that one. When I heard that, that really gave me a lot of hope for the album, because, yeah, Liam delivers the vocal really well. The chorus is fantastic. Nice. It's sort of the guitar work sort of goes between that 60s style chiming guitars, especially that bit when it sort of works on D, like in the chorus, nil, 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 which is often something that John does quite a bit. And then all the bluesy riffing as well in there, which is sort of, I suppose that's kind of that line that John walks between like the chiming 60s psychedelia and then like the more bluesy stuff. So yeah, we get best of both worlds from John here. And Mars Liverpool, I just think it's great. The way he sings with you, if your travel agent's cool, I think is great. So yeah, really fantastic tune there. One Day at a Time. Now, this is the sort of song you can feel would have been Stone Roses. Now, a lot of these, you know, there was discussions, were these songs, you know, part of what was held back from what would have been a Stone Roses album had they not kind of imploded after the comeback. And this feels to me like a Stone Roses song. You can almost hear where Rennie's backing vocals would have come in. I really like the little snatches of acoustic guitar in there, almost like flamenco-y guitar. And I could have maybe had a bit more of that, actually. But yeah, I really love when they kick in. That line, you should have fucked me when you had the chance. Brilliant. Love it. I love it when you do, like when Liam comes out with these sort of, when he gets to be expressive in that way, I think he always does really well. So really love it. And another great chorus. I love the way it sort of, I say I'm not an expert, but the way it feels like it's jumping from major to minor. And it just, you know, when you have that shift like that, it really jumps out. And yeah, another really good one. I'm a Wheel. So here we've had like three kind of upbeat, you know, fun kind of sing-along 60s tunes. Then we get a bit of a slower, you know, really old school blues track. So this could be like an Eric Clapton track, or it could be, you know, a Led Zeppelin one. They're more bluesy moments. Yeah, so similar to Clapton or like the Stones or Led Zepp, it's got that sort of real bluesiness, which is great, which is really nice. It's nice to hear Liam, especially on something, you know, that is pure blues like that. You know, it's just great to hear that. Yeah, I mean, lyrically, you know, lock all the doors. These are the droids you're looking for. I mean, these are the droids you're looking for. What is that all about? But yeah, I think Liam, like the way he delivers it, especially when it goes into the chorus and he's like, you know, I'm a river, all that is great. You know, it really suits his voice. Later on in the tune, when we get that organ, I think the organ is fantastic. And then it has this sort of fade out at the end, and you've got sort of Squire going for it on the guitar. And there's a few tracks it does that, and you almost think like, oh, could there be like a different version of the album where we get like, you know, 4 or 5 minute blues jams at the end of sort of a few tracks? And I think that, you know, it's almost, there's like an alternate world where they didn't go to Greg Kirsten with his kind of more pop minded, where they went to, you know, they just sort of got stoned and just did a pure blues jam album. And that would have been great as well. But, you know, I'm really happy with what we've got. So that is very cool. Then we get to Just Another Rainbow. So obviously we talked about it a lot when it came out. My opinion on it has flip-flopped a bit over the weeks it's been out. I did hear it come on the radio while I was in work in the office. I think it was Absolute, probably. And I thought, oh, it sounds great, you know, in the context of what you're hoping for and all of the excitement about a new Liam song, a new John Squire song, you know, that you have those expectations. Whereas hearing on the radio, just in with Foo Fighters or Cortinas or whatever else they were playing, it sounded great. You know, it sounded brilliant to hear John Squire on the radio like that and hear Liam. So yeah, so that is, as I say, it's gone up and down. It's definitely, I'm up with it at the moment. And especially in the context of the album, I do think it works really well. I understand that people have criticised it. I've criticised it a bit, going back and forth. I get that. But still, when that solo kicks in, that's probably my favourite moment on the album still. I just sort of, oh, yeah, it just really gets me that bit. Love it. And then, you know, we then go into that really epic solo. Love it. Absolutely love it. I can't wait for that moment live as well. I haven't got tickets for Liam and John. I'm still going to hope to sort of blag one when we get nearer the time. But, you know, that is fantastic. And I can imagine everyone in the crowd going, which will be great. Okay, next up we have Love You Forever. I love the line, growing old disgracefully. Yes, lads, we wouldn't have it any other way. Yes, John might be, what, 61? Liam's 51. You know, they are getting on a bit, but they are growing old disgracefully, which is great. This is probably the most sort of Led Zepp Hendrix one. And this really feels like a true duet between Liam and John's guitar. So there's loads of space for John to do his thing, and it jumps back to Liam. The transition into the chorus is great. There's time shifts that are great. And once again, it's just the pitch of the song. It feels like they've just designed them for Liam's voice perfectly. They're not too high, they're not too low. It's just Goldilocks. It's right there in the middle for Liam, which is just fantastic. Once again, another one, great little solo at the end. You think, don't fade out, you know, keep going. But no, excellent. Really like that one. Make It Up As You Go Along. Now, this is a very interesting one. Only 2 minutes. I think it's, what, 2:12 or something like that. The wordplay in it is sort of a bit bizarre. It's a bit surreal. It's kind of got that kind of John Lennon "Happiness is a Worm Gun" sort of wordplay. The song itself is a bit sort of all over the place, so it does feel a bit like it has been made up as it goes along. Now, I doubt it has. I think it's just sort of going for that vibe. So that's kind of got that, you know, it feels a bit Syd Barrett. Sid Barrett era Pink Floyd, or like It's All Too Much, or It's Only a Northern Song, like when the Beatles were like deliberately kind of being weird. And yeah, so it's probably the first few listens, I'd probably say it's one that if one had to be cut or one had to be a B-side, it would probably say this one. So I think it will be either people's least favourite and one they kind of skip, or I can see maybe it becoming a bit of a cult favourite, actually, just because it is a bit quirky and weird and it's only 2 minutes long. So often, like, you know, I can see people go back to it. You know what? That one's really cool. I really like that. So we shall see. You're Not the Only One. I love the way it kicks in. It just hammers through with that sort of real bluesy guitar, real hard rock guitar. And then it's that Jerry Lee Lewis piano. That sort of feels similar to like a couple of Liam and BDI tracks, like Halo, Bring the Light, just like ding, 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 hammering the piano. It's sort of, the timing sort of feels weird. It almost feels like it wants to be faster than it is, but it's sort of just deliberately slowed down. So I can't quite explain it, but yeah, it almost feels like, is it going to kick in and then kind of go double time? But it doesn't. It just sort of sits at that kind of sort of slow driving pace, which is cool, but it's just a bit strange. The structure of the song itself, it could have been like a real love song, I think, like 10 Story Love Song, sort of a real, just a ballad. But it feels to me like they've just gone, sod it, let's just stick loads of guitars on. And, you know, I will never complain about a song having loads of guitars. So, yeah, really like that one. Great piano and just overall a really cool track. Right, next up, we've got two left. So, I'm So Bored. Now, this is one, and I've already seen sort of people who have heard leaks and early reviews that, you know, this is one people have sort of picked on, especially with the lyrics. And when I first heard it, I did think that, you know, I'm so bored of this program. I'm so bored of this song. You could imagine, like, you know, 61-year-old John Squire sat there watching TV and being, oh, I'm bored, like just a moany old fella. But then as the song goes on, and especially when you get into these moments that it really feels like a track from Quadrophenia. It feels like a track from the Quadrophenia album to me. And so I kind of, in my head, I've sort of put it as if it was a Quadrophenia track. Let's just imagine this was Jimmy from Quadrophenia singing it, and not necessarily Phil Daniels, but like the character in the actual album. And if you think about it like that, it absolutely works. And I think it feels like it might be the case. You know, I'd love to actually ask John Squire about it, but the fact he sings like, you know, I'm the mod, you know, you go, okay. So it does feel like he's maybe doing a Quadrophenia thing there. So bored with this program. I'm so bored with this song. Bored in the morning, bored all day. I'm so bored all night long. And then, yeah, just the way that Liam sings, like when he sings, I gotta get out. That's just great. And it's so The Who. It's so Quadrophenia. All the little transitions in there. It just feels like a track from that era, that early 70s Who. I don't know if that's what he was going for deliberately. That I'm the Mod album line makes me think he probably was, but I don't know. But I do really, really like it. And then the little riff at the end is just Paperback Writer. You know, it's probably a couple of notes off, but very Paperback Writer. So yeah, really like that. But yeah, I will be interested to see what people say about the words, because the words, if you're not thinking it's kind of, you know, meant to be a track from Quadrophenia, then you will probably really not think much of those words. But hey, there we go. And then the last track. So the last one, Liam's talked about this a few times in interviews, is saying this is the one that makes him think, makes him cry. Mother Nature's Song. So yeah, once again, really like this. The guitar, the structure, it's very kind of Rolling Stones, very sort of late Beatles. If you're going to do a song that says, like, you know, the melody is sublime and the harmonies and stuff, well, then you better make it pretty good. So, yeah, and I do think it is. I don't think it's necessarily, I mean, when you call something Mother Nature's Song, it naturally then makes you think of, you know, of the Beatles, Mother Nature's Son, which is, you know, one of my favourite songs of all time and an absolutely magic song. So it's always going to be hard because then you are likely to compare it to that. It's a little bit trite and things, but, you know, I've got no problem with it. As I said, I think it's beautiful. So I do really like it. And yeah, and it's, you know, and it's just a lovely one to sort of sing along to. It doesn't make me think and make me cry, right, like Liam said, but, you know, over time I think it could be one that sort of really, really feels very special. Be really interesting to see it live as well, whether or not, you know, that crowd reaction can sometimes really make a song. So yeah, really looking forward to seeing that, but yeah, really love it. Once again, I've said it throughout the album, there's lots of great little change, not necessarily change in time signatures, but it's just the way he will end a line slightly earlier or slightly longer. It's just a little bit more complex in the structure than sort of like a typical Oasis or Liam song. Like the way he sings Take a Little Time at the part at the end of the chorus, where it's just like just ending a little bit quicker. You know what I mean? It's sort of slightly off kilter, and it just makes you go, oh, he's ended that a little bit quicker. And that's something the Beatles would often do, just drop a beat at the end of a line, or have an extra beat at the end of the line, just to keep things interesting. And yeah, he does that throughout the album, which is really cool. And he definitely does it in here, which is great, because, you know, like it does just add that extra element to it that you don't get when it's just a sort of very simple 4-4. So yeah, so good stuff. So that's it. Overall, I'd say a really enjoyable listen, and one I can definitely imagine myself going back to over the years. Criticisms, yes, probably the lyrics. Like I said, I'm not too bothered, and actually I really quite like a lot of the lyrics, but I do understand they're not the best. And if you do compare it to, you know, the better moments of, you know, of their other stuff with the previous bands, then yeah, then maybe if you had Noel or Ian Brown on board, then maybe the lyrics might be a little bit better, but I'm not too concerned really. And then sort of connected to that, I suppose, the songs don't then really have that emotional gut punch of something like The Master Plan or something like Don't Go Away or even something like 10 Story Love Song, you know, that can really make you cry, really feel emotional. But and then, like I said earlier, there's bits where you just sort of think, wow, this could have been just a blues kind of jam album, really, and just Squire going for it and going really crazy, like Jimi Hendrix sort of style. And it doesn't. It feels like they've tried to rein that in a bit and just keep the tracks to sort of 3-4 minutes in the main. You know, especially when there's bits when it fades out, you almost think, oh, go on, Squire, go on, do it. Give us a 2-minute like crazy solo. But he doesn't really do that. You just get these sort of little moments of sort of John Squire madness rather than kind of it really being a sort of, you know, a showcase for him. But that's fine. You know, that's fine. It is what it is. And actually, if there was two versions of the album, one with like 6-minute solos and one without, you know, I'm all about the song typically. So I'd probably end up listening to the one with that didn't have the crazy long solos and just focused on the tunes. So yeah, so all in all, it's a great blues rock 60s inspired album with two absolute legends doing what they do best. So raise your hands. Anyway, that'll do it for today. that'll do it for today. Thank you very much for listening. Most of all, thanks go to our patrons. You put your money where your mouth is, and it's greatly appreciated. You can become a patron at patreon.com/oasispod, which is where we post bonus episodes, and you get access to the Discord and other things like that. So definitely go and check that out. patreon.com/oasispod. Give us a follow on Twitter at oasispodcast. Coming very soon, so coming next actually, is episode 250. And we have got something very special. Now, it's not going to be an interview, but a new era of the Oasis podcast will be happening from next episode, episode 250. So watch this space. Literally watch this space. All right, that's cryptic enough. Let's leave it for today then. Thank you very much for listening. Get stuck into Liam and John. Let me know what you think. As ever, stay in touch, stay engaged, and stay young.